You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on The Grave Talks, The Afterlife Chronicles, a conversation with Nicole Strickland. We all want to know what happens when we die. In the foreword of her new book, Nicole Strickland says, "The magical wonder of the afterlife envelops you from the moment you leave your physical body behind. What happens when we go through that veil between the two worlds?" Her book explores the spiritual realm that connects you and your departed loved one. How can you recognize the signs from them? How can you communicate? And how moving through grief and loss can help you further connect with the spirit realm? On this episode of The Grave Talks, we explore the connection between life, death, and beyond with Nicole Strickland, author of The Afterlife Chronicles, exploring the connection between life, death, and beyond. You are a woman who wears a lot of different hats. So you've written a lot of books, but you also do paranormal investigating, you do tours, you even wrote a book about your cats, which I love, and the afterlife there. So tell me a little bit about you.
So first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's really an honor. And it's one of those situations where I feel like maybe I'm a jack of all trades, master of none sort of thing.
I can relate.
But, you know, it's crazy. When I was a little girl, never, ever would I have imagined being in, you know, the paranormal research arena, afterlife research realm as an adult. But here I am. And I think just sometimes we're destined to go down certain paths, you know, not question it, but just enjoy it, learn from it. So I'm one of those people from a young age that has always had this curiosity about the afterlife, about the unknown, about ghosts and spirits. And so that interest stayed with me throughout my childhood, even through middle school, high school, and even in college, undergraduate college. That's perhaps the most profound experience I had. And that I always say it got me out of the lab, meaning that not just reading books or articles about it, it actually got me out in the trenches working in the paranormal. And that was the experience with my maternal grandmother. And I share this on a lot of other shows, maternal grandmother, Helen Lopinto.
And it's so in the book too.
It's in the book. Yes, it's absolutely in the book. And so I'll just keep it a little bit short, but I talked with her the night before she passed, and we had a lovely conversation. And then the next day, her daughter, of course, my mom, called me, and I could tell by the tone of her voice that, you know, something wasn't right. And she proceeded to tell me, "Nicole, I love you so much, but grandma passed away early in the morning." Of course, I was devastated, got on the first plane back out to San Diego, spent some time with the family. And then when I went back out to college, I started having experiences in my apartment that I did not have prior to her passing. Three situations. So the doorknobs would rattle by themselves as if someone was trying to open the first or the main door and the bedroom doors. And my grandmother used to go around at night and make sure the doors were locked. So that's something interesting. I still didn't even think it was her, though, because, you know, I'm in an apartment. I thought, okay, it's my neighbors, it's vibration. I just chalked it to something else. And so then a couple of nights later, I was doing schoolwork on my bed, and I didn't see anything, but I felt a hand caress my face. It felt like a hand anyways. And so it felt as though it came from someone I loved dearly. So that's when I started to contemplate, okay, could this be Helen trying to communicate? Didn't really think much of it until a couple of nights later, give or take. This all happened over about a week span. Again, it was in the evening and I was doing schoolwork on my bed. And then out of my left peripheral vision, I saw something. And when I looked up, I saw my grandmother's spirit form, full bodied. It appeared as though she had either like a halo around her, or it's how people look when a spotlight is shining against their back and it gives them that nice little white halo. There was that. She looked about 10 years younger. She was smiling, didn't say anything, wearing one of her favorite dresses. And then it seemed to play out in such slow motion. And then I saw her just demanifest right before my eyes. And that's when I started to make the connection, like, okay, is she reaching out to me? At first, I thought maybe I was projecting it just from grief, you know, some sort of bereavement hallucination. But I think after all these years, I really do, what my heart tells me is that she really was reaching out to communicate. And perhaps she knew before I knew that I was, you know, sensitive to communicating with the afterlife and spirit realms. So that one experience just really launched me on the path that I've been. And here we are today. So it's been pretty fun, pretty fabulous.
And don't you find with an experience like you had, sometimes you think, man, I am losing my mind. You know, I could not have just seen that. But then when you talk to other people who have had similar experiences, then you realize there's something bigger going on, because there's a lot of people, including myself, who have had experiences with loved ones after they pass.
That's such a good point. And I reflect on this and I see the tide not necessarily turning, but more and more people are open to sharing these sorts of experiences. As I think before, it's just, you know, with paranormal and all, you know, just basically the paranormal infused in pulp culture and our lives in general, I think it's given permission, or it's allowed people to not feel like they're so isolated and that they're not so crazy, and that, yes, they're able to share these sorts of experiences. So, yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know. I think, and this could be just, I don't know, I sometimes think outside the box, way out in left field, but I feel as though there's some sort of cosmic situation going on where it's bridging both our world, the mortal world, together more with the afterlife and other realms. I feel like they're coming together more. Mm-hmm. It's just a sense. So I'm curious to see where that will go in the next, you know, several years.
So after you had that experience, you didn't dive right into this book right away. Did you start kind of going into paranormal research, investigation? You kind of went that route first?
I did, yes. So I worked with different Southern California teams just to get some basic investigation experience under my belt, you know, working at or investigating private homes and businesses and historical locations. So I've done that. And then I, you know, founded my own team in 2009, the San Diego Paranormal Research Society. But in the last few years, I'm still, of course, involved in paranormal research and investigation, but I've also started to study more on the afterlife and, you know, the survival of human consciousness after death and going down that route. And I think in the beginning, I was so focused on capturing evidence, you know, EVPs and photographs and having all these experiences. And now I feel personally I've evolved in the sense that while that is still important, I'm looking more toward, okay, the types of rapport that we can build with the spirit energies, you know, what can we do for them? What can they do for us? So getting into more of the why and how, I guess. And that may never be answered, but it's interesting how, you know, you can evolve in this field. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I remember before my dad passed away, he was dating a woman. Well, they lived together. They were basically married and she passed away. And he was just very, very distraught. And he had at one point in his life been a mortician / funeral director. He did both. And so he was very, you know, the dead and dying was what he did. And right. I remember having this really deep conversation with him and he was saying, but you can't kill energy. You can't kill the energy. Like her body can go, but what happened to the energy that kept, you know, the fuel that keeps your body going? And I've never forgotten that. It just really was a profound conversation with me.
Right on. Absolutely.
And I know that after he died that I've had experiences where I know it was him.
It may not be, you know, where you have tangible proof of those, but they do exist. And it's what you believe and it's what you feel. And if it's almost like, you know, those sorts of situations, it's almost like an epiphany and you just know and you can't deny it.
Right.
And so, you know, I think we've all had situations like that, and more people are open to sharing those. So it's really wonderful.
So where did you start when it came time to write this book? Because you address many different topics in the book.
I do. So, yeah. It's you know, I guess my one criticism of it would be that there's so many topics in there that.
That's what I love about it, actually. You could have split it up into two books.
I could, you know what? I actually thought of doing that too. I mean, I have some ideas for maybe a kind of a sister book to it down the road there, but it's one of those. And I do mention, I think, oh my gosh, it's in the introduction where I said, you know, the actual writing of the book only took what, about a year or so, you know, including the research and getting the stories and all of that. But the writing of it took, you know, my lifespan thus far. And so it wasn't the type of book that I planned to do first. It just evolved naturally as it was supposed to. And it just was the timing was right for it. So that's basically how I describe it. And just being open, it allowed me to write it. I was more open to experiencing the spirit realms. I've had so many profound life-changing experiences with the afterlife and talking with others. And, you know, with the culmination of my years of experience being in this field, I felt, okay, it's the right time to write something like this. Probably get about 10 books out of this one book. So, like I said, it's a lot of information, but I'm hoping it flows well for people. So,
and one thing I'm going to start with, because we have a lot of things I'd like to discuss today, but because you have done paranormal investigation, is there a difference between a ghost, because I grew up in a haunted house, so I know that exists, but then it's different when you have a visitation dream or an experience with someone who has passed. Do you consider that to be totally different things, or is this person in ghost form temporarily, or how would you even describe and connect the two, or are they even connected?
Yeah,
you know,
this
a ghost
is a great
that haunts
question.
That, like, I'm using air quotes, like a ghost that haunts a certain location.
Right. So that's actually a really good question. I'll start out by saying, and again, you know, this is field is not black and white, it's gray. So it's up to interpretation. But many people share this idea that ghosts and spirits, while they share some similarities, there are some differences. So, and it's very easy to say ghost and spirit interchangeably. I've done that. I'm guilty of it. But in my idea, a ghost is an energy, of course, of a once living person or animal, but that entity or that energy, for some reason, either by choice or not, is stuck or chooses to remain on this plane for various reasons. It could be maybe he or she doesn't know he or she died. It could be by choice. It could be maybe a violent sort of death, like a suicide or an accident, and they just don't know to move on. So there could be a number of reasons. But an earthbound, I like to, aka ghost, aka earthbound, basically is an energy that is stuck by choice or not on this plane, not really having moved on to the higher ranks of spirithood. Whereas a spirit is more of like a discarnate energy, perhaps of someone who, you know, was a human at some point and passed on, maybe started out as being an earthbound, maybe not, but has evolved to the higher ranks of spirithood. So there's more free will, there's more soul evolution. And so that's kind of how I differentiate the two. And then you have the idea of, you know, as you know, intelligence versus residual. You can have an earthbound energy or a spirit communicate with you and show some signs of intelligence, whereas something residual, it's thought to not even really be a ghost at all, but just some sort of psychic imprint on the environment left over, usually in places that have seen varying levels of emotion. So battlefields, mm-hmm. deaths, hospitals, theaters, amusement parks. So you might get some activity which may seem like it's ghostly and coming from a ghost, but it's probably more, if it's along the lines of residual, it would be more like a psychic imprint. So for example, like a Gettysburg battlefield, you know, assuming they're not doing any reenactments that day, you go there and you hear a phantom cannon shooting off and there's no reenactments, you can most likely say or think, okay, well, that's most likely residual from the actual battles that occurred during the Civil War. So that's kind of how I differentiate the two. But I feel if you have a dream visitation with a departed loved one, whether it's a, you know, a relative or an animal, that I feel, and I this is just my feeling, it's coming more from an energy that has evolved and perhaps knows he or she is passed on, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So it's, but there's so many, I mean, you can have 10 different examples and 10 different sorts of stories regarding that entity. So it's different. So just, it's, you just have to look at the situation and just look at everything and then try to decide, okay, well, is it earthbound? Is it intelligent? You know, ghost, spirit, but it's hard sometimes.
So when you were researching the book and you talked to a lot of people, there are a lot of stories in this book.
Yeah.
What were some of your, I was going to say favorite, that doesn't seem profound. What did you find that was like a profound story, something that really touched you?
Oh my goodness, excellent question. All the stories in the book are, you know, very important. Obviously, they wouldn't be in there, but there are a couple that stand out just because of the story itself. And one of them is from, it's a story from William Brower. And so in the stories in the book, but his dear, dear friend ended up taking his own life. And as you read through the story, you're, you know, it's sad to be reading this, took his own life. And then at the end of the story, you're going to read that that individual gave William some sort of sign, perhaps letting William know that he was okay. And another interesting aspect of it is that William's very heavy in Titanic research. He's a huge, huge RMS Titanic aficionado, has written books, speaks about the liner and everything. So his friend actually passed on the anniversary of the Titanic sinking. So, so there's that component in there, which is a little bit along the lines of synchronicity. So that's a really interesting story. Another one is something that I experienced. One of my dear friends who also lives in San Diego, she's actually in Santee. Her name is Dawn, and we've known each other for years. And so one of her sons actually passed from, hypoxia. He actually choked on some, I think it was a pancake or something, and was put on life support and all of that. And we were at the hospital with the family and they decided, you know, to let him go and transition. So it was an experience when we were at the hospital. I had just went in to see him along with the family, came back out to the waiting room. So they were going to take him to a different room to give him his rite of passage to pass on. And it was a series of events, but to summarize it concisely, I ended up seeing this very bright beach ball sized orb of light out of the, let me explain this. So in the waiting room, there were, obviously there was a door, but there were windows so we could see out into the hallway. So I had happened to be looking out through those windows in the hallway, and I had seen this beach ball sized orb of light as bright as looking into the sun. And I saw it round the corner, dip down and shoot straight up as if it was going to exit out of the ceiling. And I thought to myself, okay, this is odd. And it was about 30, maybe about a minute later when we were told that Don's son, his name was Kyle, ended up passing on. So I shared this with Don, her sister Sharon, who I'm also good friends with. And the three of us feel that perhaps maybe I saw Kyle's spirit leave the hospital. That was maybe his soul just exiting the hospital. I don't know. Some sort of spiritual sign.
What else would that have been?
See, that's exactly it. I don't know. And it was so profound. And I remember asking, I shared it with Sharon. I said, Sharon, do you think I should share this with Dawn, or do you think it would, you know, make her grief worse? And Sharon's like, no, you tell her right now. And so I told her. And then what's interesting, and I didn't know this, but Sharon had told Dawn early on, several days prior, if anyone's going to have an experience, it will be Nicole. I don't know why she said that, but that's what she said. So it's just, I mean, it's beautiful. I don't know how else to explain that. I really don't, but it was just such a peaceful, beautiful thing. So
I think that a lot of times, my own personal opinion, once again, I have no way to back anything up, but I think that we get in such deep grief and we want that connection, which is why we go to a psychic or something. We want to hear from that loved one so much. And we want to look up and see this rainbow in the sky. And it's like, obviously, that's a sign from them. But sometimes I think that people are looking for really big signs and they miss the little one right in front of them.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think so, too. And I believe these signs that we receive, synchronicity types of signs, synchronous types of signs, I they're so subtle. And I feel that if you're actively, consciously looking for them, you're going to miss them. It's when you're not actively looking for them, at least in my experience, is when they occur. And when they occur, it's hard to put in words, but when they occur, it's like an epiphany. You just know right then and there, there's no questioning, no doubt that that is a sign. And so, you know, even after my cat Kaylee passed, I had two litter mates named Max and Kaylee. And even after Kaylee passed, she was 18 and a half. The second that she passed on, I told her, as I told her brother, I said, you know, I'm going to be grieving. I'm going to be sad, but please don't feel forced to come and comfort me. I want you to get used to where you're going. And so I told her that, but right after she transitioned, but it was a series of little things right after she transitioned, bright sunlight coming through the door at the veterinary hospital, just shining bright. It had been raining that day. And in this one instance, it was just bright sun shining through the door. We went to In-N-Out Burger after. I wasn't even that hungry, but I mean, my mom's like, let's stop. And so we got the food, and then we were turning right on Balboa Avenue. And there were these sets of billboard signs, just the smaller types of signs. And I happened to just look up. I didn't look up and look around the billboards. I just happened to look up. And right when I looked up, I saw this billboard that had a picture of an index finger touching a bright orb of light. The following day, seeing two birds dancing in the sky in unison, unlike anything I've ever seen before. And all of these little things I just knew were signs. So it's hard to put in words, but you just know that's what they are.
So I always say, you know, don't be looking for such big things that you overlook the actual sign that was sent to you.
Right. That's good advice. You know, I totally agree.
If you're just looking for all big stuff and voices and them to actually show up on your porch or something, you might miss the birds dancing.
Right.
Which I think would be a really beautiful thing to see. I've never seen that, but I think that would be really beautiful.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting. The day after, I think I was on my way to Starbucks or something, and I was at a stoplight, and there they were right in front of me. And I'm like, okay, I just knew at that point, you know, so. And what's worse, I mean, what's, I would rather have a series of little signs than just something. I mean, they're both important, whether it's something big versus just a bunch of little signs, because to me, that's big as well. So,
and to hard me, to measure it. Yeah, because I also think that we all have our things. I don't know what it is, like birds for me. So my dog sent me a bird, and I knew that that bird was sent to help me make a really difficult decision. But
absolutely,
I think that if you're looking for this big sign, you might miss that little bird flying up. Or
I totally agree. I totally agree. And it's for me. I've had hummingbirds as well for me.
Yeah, mine was
butterflies is a big one. Butterflies are huge.
And I know a lot of people, it's cardinals. When I lost my dad, it was pennies. Finding pennies in the most random places when I absolutely needed one. I remember one day I was going through a tough time, totally unconnected to my dad, and I was walking my dog and I stopped and I took a deep breath because I was going through a lot, and I looked down, and right where I stopped, right at my foot, was a penny. I'm like, all the places I could have stopped in this 5-mile walk.
Right.
So that was a sign to me.
There you go.
That my dad's still around, and he knows, and it's like, hey, I'm still here. And so it's little things like that.
Absolutely. Song, too, is another one. The sequence of numbers for me is 444. My grandmother died around 4:45 a.m. My cat Max died around 4:45 p.m., give or take. So that sequence of 444, I will happen to look on license plates. There it is. Or on my microwave's clock. There it is. You know, things like that. Music, Unchained Melody. By the Righteous Brothers is another song. When my grandfather died, on the way to his military funeral, that was playing. And oddly, when I think about him, a lot of times that song will come on Pandora or whatnot. So it's just so fascinating how that happens.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I worked in radio for years, and I cannot tell you how many times I randomly played a song or I moved a song, and it's like, I'm going to play it here instead of there, or I feel like playing this one. And believe it or not, you don't have a lot of choice in radio. You are told what to play. But so I can't tell you how many times over the years I had somebody call me and say, oh my God, I just got in the car. I left my grandma's funeral. You played The Dance by Garth Brooks or whatever it would be. I can't even tell you how many times that happened.
See, isn't that so fascinating? It's so beautiful and fascinating at the same time.
And because from my perspective, I just thought, you know, I think I'm going to play, I want to play that song today. Or that song doesn't really fit next to that song. I'm going to move it to there. Had I left it where it was, they wouldn't have heard it. Now, to me, that is not a little sign when you hear that song. That's a big sign. The other thing I think that is so different is a visitation dream. And it's not like a regular dream. It's like you woke up and you just had an experience with that person or pet, as you said. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes. And, you know, again, from my experience, of course, I feel with a visitation, there's more of a profound meaning behind it. So when you wake up from these types of dreams, a dream visitation, you will have this a very profound sense of peace. You will feel like you absolutely connected with your departed loved one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have, you know, typical dreams that are just, you know, played out every day from our daily trials and tribulations, you know, our subconscious and all of that. But then with these dream visitations, it's different because you're actually going a step further. It's just more profound, more deeply spiritual. And you're actually having this interesting communication with whoever you're communicating with in the afterlife. And so I've had several with my cat Kaylee, and those have been different than a actual dream, because there's a little bit of slight astral projection on my part, not willingly. And it's in that in-between state of, I think when you're, it's a hypnagogic or hypnopompic state, when you're about to fall asleep or about to wake up, that's usually when this happens. And sometimes during it, I'll think that I'm awake, but I'm not. And I almost bet if you had a camera on me that I would not be moving at all, but my astral self is. And I've had about 14 or 15 of these dreams thus far, always in the same environment. It takes place in my room under the same lighting conditions. I'm in the same spot as I was when I went to sleep. So I'm laying on my back in my bed, and it always starts out with, I'll feel Kaylee walking on the bed. I will then see her, and then she jumps on the desk, which is right next to the bed. She'll come back on the bed, and I'm able to feel her, pick her up, see her. I'm able to hear her meow, feel her warmth, just as though she were alive in the physical. And it's a beautiful thing. And then I wake up. But when I wake up, it's a different sense. It's a sense of, wow, I just literally connected with the other side, a feeling of just total love and peace. So that's, for me, how I differentiate the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, if you've had any experiences like that, I don't know if that's something that...
That's exactly how I felt. I woke up like I just talked to them.
Right,
it's like,
right.
This was different. And,
exactly.
And I also think it's interesting that a lot of people have had those types of dreams. So it's not just you and me. There's so many people. And so that's why I always think when it happens to a lot of people, there has to be more to it than that was mm-hmm. just a dream.
Oh, absolutely. And our brains and our minds want to logically try to explain something like that. And it's hard. It's almost, to me, try not to. And it's hard because I tend to be an analytical person as well, but I've just surrendered. I don't analyze it. I don't try to explain it because I think this is something that's a divine situation that maybe, you know, a mortal being can't necessarily understand, but it's more to be experienced. To me, the importance is experiencing it, not so much explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know. I, based on having all these dreams connecting with Kaylee, I feel, you know, on a personal level that perhaps dream visitations and astral projection could be two really good gateways to further connecting with the other side. You know, and I wouldn't have said that it was these dream visitations with Kaylee that have allowed me to start wondering about that. So that's really beautiful.
For me, the connection with a pet is as strong as the connection I have with a lot of people.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
absolutely.
It's just because they're there. They're part of your life. It's a constant on your brain. One of the chapters.
And then the soul connection too, you might have with animals too.
Oh my gosh.
You might be part of the same soul group and all of that. So that's another way to maybe describe that such profound closeness.
And Nicole and I have already decided she's coming back on the show and we're doing an entire episode on pets.
Oh, that would be, oh
so,
my gosh.
I want to do
Kaylee
that.
Kaylee would love that.
And I have a couple dogs in my past that would love it. And I just think it would be really interesting because so many people have that connection and have had experiences after
yes.
they lost a pet. And it's just different. And so
that's,
I want to do an
too.
Entire episode on that.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Oh my gosh. And for people that have just recently had to say goodbye, you know, there's a comfortness to, that's even a word. There's a, I guess it is, we'll say it is. There's just, it's a lot of comfort, you know, when you have a bunch of people talking about these experiences, it really helps to make the grieving process a little bit easier.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Nicole Strickland. You can get her new book, The Afterlife Chronicles, Exploring the Connection Between Life, Death, and Beyond, on Amazon. And get more information about Nicole at her website, authornicolestrickland.com. And make sure you listen to the rest of our talk in part two. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there. Also, all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes. And for all of us at The Grave Talks, Thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.